Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, welcoming my good colleague, Professor Richard Epstein. He writes for the Civitas Institute. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. Right now he's writing of the UN Charter, Article 51. I quote, "Nothing in the present charter shall impair the inherent right of individual or collective self-defense if an armed attack occurs against a member of the United Nations until the Security Council has taken measures necessary to maintain international peace and security." Professor, a very good evening to you. The UN Charter is surprisingly unambiguous. You're attacked, you get the right to defend yourself. The question at hand right now is Israel defending itself from the onslaught of Iranian surrogates, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the IRGC itself and its kindred of Cain in and around Syria, sometimes Al-Qaeda, sometimes worse. However, the question has been raised these last days, has Israel violated in some sense its mandate to defend itself? This has to do chiefly with the Gaza scenario. There are hostages being kept by Hamas, some dead, some alive, and there is no end to the negotiation. Israel, at the same time, has made decisions to put the IDF back inside Gaza and deal with a neighborhood that is said to be the center of the Hamas resistance and violence. There are other attendant issues, such as feeding the Gazan population and Hamas making war on its own population in order to exacerbate the debate over Israel's conduct. However, most recently we have the headlines, we're told that President Macron of France will recognize in some fashion the state of Palestine, complicating everything completely. Back to the UN Charter. It seems a fundamental truth that Israel has the right to defend itself. Are there limits to that defense? Good evening to you.
Yeah, hi. Let me just kind of sort out the mess. The issue of so-called anticipatory defense is attacking before you've been attacked, when the other person is threatening you. That's the key issue with respect to the situation in Iran. The situation in Israel is a little bit different because everybody knows who began this war on October 7th and the response on October 8th. The kind of question that people are asking has this thing come to an end so that there's now going to be a second theater of war and the Israelis are engaged in an anticipatory attack now. And so if you think that there has been some sharp delineation between the initial attack and the current days, you may want to invoke the UN Charter. I think it's preposterous to do so. To my mind, the difficulty in this particular case has been there since day two, when there were calls in the West for a ceasefire. What a ceasefire does is essentially legitimate Hamas in terms of the fact that there's no further retaliation. And then if they decide to break the next ceasefire, like they broke the one on October 6th, you're helpless. So the Israelis' position is there'll only be a ceasefire if, in fact, Hamas goes. Hamas's position is there'll only be a ceasefire if Israel withdraws. So what you can see from day one is there's no deal. And it'd be silly to kind of think they are. So then what happens is the question is, how do you play this game out with all sorts of interim moves? And the rule is, the earlier you are in the process, the more easy it is to make a deal, give out marginal hostages, the Jewish kids and the women and so forth, get out some of the prisoners on the other side. The closer you get to the finish line, that tension that I just mentioned is going to become intolerable, and there'll never be another deal that could be made. That's where they are. The position that I've always taken on this is one which says, if you really are serious about war, you never enter into a war where the odds are even. You only enter into it if you can absolutely wipe out the other side. That's on the aggression side. Hamas thought they could beat that rule by getting everyone else to come in, and it turned out they were desperately warm. They did not have the kind of superiority. So the advantage of surprise lasted for about a week, and then it was been constant pummeling on the other side. The correct American response should have been, by Joe Biden, just end this thing as quickly as possible. This is the humanitarian approach, because the longer this thing goes on, the more likely it is that the innocent population is going to be caught in the crossfire, given the utter inability to obtain the ceasefire. And so when you say, as Obama does, or rather not Obama, Biden does, we don't want to face the risk of escalation, what you do is you stop the risk of de-escalation. If you can really wipe out the other side so they have no defense, there's going to be no escalation. And whatever is the ultimate truth with respect to Iran, there was no military response because they did not have the wherewithal to do it. The situation in Gaza is not prone to the kind of knockout punch with these huge bunker buster bombs. And so retaliation is always there. And unless you completely swap it out, you're never going to win. So when Biden says, don't cross Rafah, don't do this, don't do that, what happens is you now prolong the war, perhaps now 18 months longer than it should have gone on, and the number of civilian casualties has quadrupled. We are, I think, pretty confident of the fact that the Israelis have in storage enough food and material to feed and clothe Hamas and all Palestine for the next several months. And it's the Hamas has taken the position that you can't distribute anything. It either comes in through the UN or it doesn't come in at all. What they want to do is to take it and then sell it to their own population, and they're willing to starve them out or to shoot them. One of the things that you mentioned was Mr. Macron, and I'm going to make the following observation about this guy. I think he's an intellectual bozo, but that's not the key point. If he's so concerned about the food distribution stuff, why doesn't he simply amount in an effort to feed the people in Gaza by French troops and French resources? I'll tell you why he won't do it, because you cannot succeed in that mission unless you put down Hamas. They will shoot at anybody who tries to do this. Or there'll be some other technical difficulty to handling this. You remember that the United States under Biden had this brilliant idea to build this offshore facility in the Mediterranean from which they would be able to unload stuff in order to feed starving Gaza. Well, the whole thing broke up in 10 days. It cost probably $300 or $400 million to build, and nothing, whatever, was done. The only way you can have secure distribution is to have a one-sided war that has to end, and has to end quickly. And Trump, as far as I'm concerned, is not the man to be doing these negotiations. He has this kind of godlike complex where he says, if I say something is so, I'm the master negotiator. I built great projects in New York. You're just going to listen to me. The problem is you talk to Hamas, you talk to the Shah, you talk to Putin. All these people are very skilled negotiators. That's how they got there. And they're completely ruthless. And so what you can't do is get any deal out of them by talking. And the more you think that you can, the worse you are. And Trump, to his credit, figured that out with respect to Iran, and then had this little ploy to say, I'll make up my mind in the next 2 weeks, when he'd already made up his mind. And in 2 days, he managed to change the situation. That's what you have to do in Gaza. You have to make it completely one-sided. If you constantly temporize on this, it's crazy. Now it's going to be extremely impossible to do so. The Israelis will be isolated because of what has happened. But at the same time, they also will be feared. And this is what I think is going to happen. The Israelis realize that there is no way that they could depend upon the cooperation of anybody else to control territory. And so what they're going to do is to make the new incursions into Syria permanent and build a new boundary line there. There's no population to worry about. It's pretty clear they're going to be more aggressive in sealing off the West Bank so as to make sure that infiltration cannot take place there. And I'm afraid they're probably going to end up starving Gaza by preventing other sources of food from coming in, which would get into the hands of Hamas and cure everything. The person whom the Israelis should push very hard is Mr. Sisi, What he should do is be told, look, you got a lot of land. You find a couple hundred square miles or 100 square miles, 10 square miles, whatever it is. Build a barrier on the other side and tell everybody in Gaza to get out. And at that point, anybody who stays around is fair game. And you clean out the tunnels and you start this whole thing over.
Richard, I want to start with the Biden administration before we get to the solutions today.
Okay, sure.
But you write in Civitas, you have choices, negotiation or coercion. Mm-hmm. Did the Biden administration ever make up its mind? It seemed week to week it was going back and forth about limits. And do we know who was making those week to week? Were there two committees? One was coercion and one was negotiation. How did they do that?
Well, we don't know anything about the internal operation. It was probably early on. He had some say over it. Then it went to a committee. And I think what happened is there was a uniform philosophy, which was that you want to make sure that this war is stabilized. And so therefore, you rejected any form of offensive activities by the Israelis. And that was accepted by everybody. If you recall, the most famous sentence that was made about Iran after that initial flurry of missiles coming from Iran into Israel, Biden and his team said, take the win. You recall that, right?
Yes.
What they meant is don't escalate. And of course, what the Israelis did is they escalated. They wiped out Hezbollah. They neutralized a large amount of the Iranian power. And that front has been relatively silent. There is no question that the Iranians will try to rebuild their nuclear forces. But I think what's going to happen is it's going to be slower. And B, if they do it again, you'll bomb them again in exactly the same way that
did the Biden
before.
Administration guarantee that the war cannot end?
Yes. What it did is it basically thought that stabilization required stalemate.
In other words, to return to the normal of...
And they made that the normal situation.
Right.
They were not prepared to put Hamas back in power. They were not prepared to isolate them. They just hoped that they could prevent this thing from spilling over somewhere else.
Which it did, of course. And the Trump administration, does it have coercion or negotiation? It appears to be doing the same thing, going back and forth.
Well, I think what happened is it started with them going back and forth. But Trump, I think, lost his patience in the Iranian situation. He realized they were just stalling.
But I'm looking at Gaza, where the starvation is.
At this point, I think he's lost control of his own mind. That is, it's just not clear. It's a harder situation than the Iranian situation because you're in the middle of a conflict. I don't think he has really figured out what it was he wants to do. There was a lot of hell and brimstone, and you'll get help unless you do this.
Right.
But it's never been acted upon. I think the situation with Russia is a little bit different. Europe is at this point in deep panic about it. And I think Trump has finally realized that the Russians and the Iranians play the same game. Stall through negotiations. And if you succeed through stalling, then you could win the war. The last story I read that said that all of Western Europe is in a panic. Every one of them decided that they can't rely on America. They're going to have to do it themselves. I think there was another story which said that as of last year, it turned out European aid to Ukraine was greater than American aid to Ukraine. And that's probably what Trump wanted. It's probably a good thing, but you probably have to double both sides on it. What happens is if our friend Putin wins in any serious way in that area, he will turn his attention elsewhere.
We need to come home, Richard. I just have enough time for three matters that require...
Okay, I will just say the one thing. They want to get everybody out of the Baltics, and that's suicidal for Europe.
Professor Richard Epstein writing at Civitas about coercion and negotiation. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit WashableSofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and-feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.